Praise the Lord. Ye sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what, before I got here tonight, I was tired. I was yawning. I told Jeannie, man, I can't stop yawning. But now I am full. I am full. Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Amen? I am full of his life. He has given life to my mortal body by that living Holy Spirit. I just thought of a verse. Y'all know it. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Isn't that awesome? We shall mount up with wings like eagles. He is our strength. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. That's who our God is. And I am held up right now. I am upheld by his victorious right hand. He strengthens me. He strengthens you. Woo! And that isn't even the sermon tonight. Awesome. That's who he is. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? The next verse, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Amen. And like Robert always says, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing. It's ours. By his divine power, he's given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. It's ours. We do not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Woo! That's who our God is. That's who we serve. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, get your Bibles out. And turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. I noticed that I've kind of worn this place out because that page comes out of my Bible. I don't know how to stick it back in there, so I just kind of tuck it in. And we're going to start at verse 12. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. The Pharisees replied, you're making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. Jump over to verse 25. Pharisees are still speaking to Jesus, and they say, who are you? They demanded. Who are you? And Jesus replied, the one I have always claimed to be. I have much to say about you and much to condemn, but I won't. For I say only what I have heard from the one who sent me. And he is completely truthful. But they still didn't understand that he was talking about his Father. This is Jesus. Jesus is saying I say only what I have heard from the one who sent me. And he is completely truthful. Later on in this chapter, he talks about the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. But the Father is completely truthful. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. Some versions say, you will understand I am. I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do what pleases him. Then many who heard him say these things believed in him. Jesus, the Son of God, says, I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. That's really, really important. Because look at verse 31. So many who heard him say these things believed him, verse 30. Verse 31, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. Who taught Jesus? The Father. Jesus only did what the Father told him. He only did what the Father had taught him. And now he's turning around and he's saying, you who have believed on me, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now the word that is rendered, if you remain faithful, in other versions it said, if you continue in my word, in King James. ESV says, if you abide in my word. The Greek word for those, remain faithful, abide, continue, is meno. And it means to remain and abide. That's what it means. But it has three areas of meaning. One is place, one is time, and the other is condition or state. So when we look at the word to remain or to abide in place, it's not to depart that place, to remain in that place, to be held continually. So whatever you have in that place, you hold to it continually. You don't depart from it. You're always there. And in Romans 5:2, it says that Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. That's our place. Our place is grace. So we need to remain there, not to depart, to continue in that place of grace. With respect to time, it means to endure. And if you go to Hebrews 12:2, it says, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Let us run with endurance. Endurance is associated with time. We need to endure to the end. So don't depart from that. Run that race with endurance. That's what Jesus is saying. Continue in my teachings. Continue in my word. Logos is a Greek word. We are to continue in that. And then the last one is your state or your condition. And that means to remain as one. Not to become different. And if you flip over to John 17, Jesus is praying, verses 20 through 23, 22 and 23. He says, I have given them, the disciples, the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So I started out with Romans 8:11. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit gives life to our mortal bodies. We are one in the Spirit. So we are to continue there. We're to abide there. We're to remain there. We're to remain in grace. We are to remain in one. And we are to endure to the end. Jesus says, if you do that, you are truly my disciples. And this is an if then. If you remain faithful to my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you do not remain, you will not be free. So, as I've said before, if you get caught up in the world, 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world is not of the Father. So if you get caught up in the world, if you get caught up in unforgiveness, if you get caught up in bitterness, wrath, anger, then you're not remaining in the Word, and you are not free. You've been captured. You're in prison. So Jesus is saying, if you continue, if you remain in me, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Flip over to 1 John 2:24. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life He promised us. Guess what the Greek word is for remain faithful? It's the one we just saw in the other verse, meno. It means to remain, to abide, to continue, to stay in that place. So it says, you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. Now hopefully, all of us have been taught the Word. If you come here on Sunday and hear Pastor Robert preach, you're being taught the Word. We have to remain in that word. You can't hear that word and leave church on Sunday and completely forget what you heard. You have to remain in it. We cannot receive the word and then go out into the world and be a part of the world and do what the world says. No, we have to remain in his word, in what we have been taught from the beginning. And if we do, that's what it says, if you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father, and in this fellowship we enjoy the eternal life He promised us. If you do not, then you will not remain in fellowship, and you will not enjoy abundant life. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. In order to enjoy all of that abundant life that's filling you up and spilling over, you need to remain in Him. All the time. Constantly. So, let me give you an analogy. may not be a good one, but I'm a physician. I went to 4 years of medical school. I was taught medicine. I dissected a body. I learned all about the anatomy. I learned all about pathology, physiology, bacteriology, all of those ologies I learned about in 4 years. And I began to incorporate that information. I lived it and breathed it every day. In the second 2 years, I went on. I was responsible for the care of patients as a medical student underneath a resident who was underneath an attending physician, and we would go see those patients, and we would write orders, and we would have to go on rounds every morning and report to the attending physician what was going on with this patient. And I learned, and I continued to learn. After I graduated and received a Doctor of Medicine degree, I went to a family practice residency. I'm a doctor now. I have an MD behind my name, but I'm still learning. But I'm putting everything that I learned in 4 years into practice. And I go and I have my own patients. I'm still learning. There's an attending physician. And I take care of my patients every morning or every day. And in the morning, we round on the patients, and the attending goes along with us, and we report on how the patient is doing and how we're achieving the medical outcomes that we wanted. But I'm actually taking everything I learned in the first 4 years, and I'm putting them to application. And I'm continuing to read, I'm continuing to learn, I'm continuing to be instructed, but I'm growing more and more mature as a physician. I finished my residency. I am now board certified in family medicine, and I go into practice. And I have my own medical clinic, and I have my own set of patients, and now I apply everything that I have learned every day to those patients to take care of them. I continue to read medical journals. I go to continuing medical education. I continue essentially in the Word. And I am in fellowship with other physicians. Because of the commonality of what we share, the common knowledge, the common compassion, the common passion for medicine, then we are in fellowship with one another. And we go to meetings. In fact, April 15th, I'm going to a meeting of the Texas Academy of Family Physicians in Austin, where I'll be with my colleagues and my peers, and we continue in fellowship. It's the same thing for what we should be doing in the Word of God. We should be taking the Word in all the time. We should be constantly growing and maturing and growing up in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We should be developing discernment and insight through the Holy Spirit. We should have good judgment because we are continuing in the Word. And we know the truth, and the truth sets us free. And we have fellowship with the Son, and we have fellowship with the Father, and we have fellowship with one another. Look at 1 John 5, verses 20 and 21. I shared this in Sunday school. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. And then John finishes this letter and says, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." That's a negative way of saying, stay in my Word, continue in my Word, continue in my teaching, continue in fellowship. So we, as the body of Christ, need to stay in His Word constantly, all the time. We should walk in it. We should talk in it. Well, that just reminded me of another verse. So if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think Deuteronomy has fled out of my Bible. Oh, here it is. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, everywhere you go, everything that you're doing, no matter what your activity is during the day, you are walking in the truth. You are walking in freedom. You are walking in the Word. And that's why it is imperative for us to soak in the truth. Just getting up in the morning and opening the, you name it, the Daily Bread, the Upper Room, whatever devotional you're partial to, and not even cracking open your Bible. You're just reading that little devotional, and you finish it and say, oh, that's good. And then you close it, and then you go off into the world, and you forget what you even read. And then you let the world capture you and squeeze you into its mold. You're not going to walk in freedom. When you rise up, when you lie down, when you walk by the way, the Word should always be coming up and instructing you. The Lord says in Psalm 32:8, I will teach you and instruct you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. But you have to hear Him. You have to hear the voice. Let's finish with Jude. Verses 20 and 21. So this is going to be your go-do. This is going to be the application for tonight. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. So that's what we should be doing. We always should be building one another up in our most holy faith. And a way that we do that is by speaking the Word to one another, speaking the truth to one another, speaking to one another in unfeigned love, building up, not tearing down, and praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. I think before I mentioned Ephesians 6:18, it says, pray at all times in the Spirit, on every occasion, for all the saints, everywhere. That's how we should be praying. That's a part of the armor of God, is praying in the Spirit. We should be praying in the Spirit. And we're waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to come and gather us up to be with Him forever. We'll spend eternity with Him, in fellowship with Him. And we can experience that fellowship now. We can know him. It says it gives us understanding so we can know the true God. We can know him. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. I want to be safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into him and are safe. So when we do these things, when we build each other up in our most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, waiting for the Lord Jesus to bring us eternal life, we will keep ourselves safe in God's love. Nothing can separate us from his love. So I ask you to join me. Build one another up. Steep yourself in the Word. Chad Market's not here tonight. He's with his father up in Illinois. But Chad and I have been meeting almost 2 years together doing this very thing. Building each other up in our most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, waiting for Jesus to come, and being safe in his love. I have poured myself into Chad, a young believer. I have taught him what others have taught me. Remember, we're supposed to hang on to what we have been taught from the beginning. And now he has been built up in his most holy faith, and he is now doing the same thing with a young man who came through the Walk to Emmaus, came to Freedom Prayer, and now Chad is teaching him. And he is growing up in faith and in the truth. And all of these things that we talked about tonight are happening in his life. And he is safe in God's love. We have an enemy, and we are not ignorant of his devices. And so we do battle. We have the full armor of God, and we stand in the evil day, and having done all, we will stand. And we will not go to sleep. We're on the ramparts, we're watchmen on the walls, and we need to stay sharp. We need to stay alert, and we need to stay in the Word. Amen? Let me pray. So, Father God, I thank you so much for your Word. Your Word is alive. It is active. Your Word has quickened us tonight. We ask that as we go, your Word will indwell us as we indwell in you. We are one with you. Thank you for living in us. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you for giving life to our mortal bodies. Thank you for strengthening us and giving us all power so we can rise up with wings like eagles, and we can run and not be weary and walk and not faint. We take those promises. They're promises that you have given us, and we will walk in it, and we will praise you and glorify you and honor you and revere you and hold you in esteem and awe and say that you are the one that created everything out of nothing, and you hold it all together right now by your word of power. And Lord Jesus, we look forward to your appearing with great expectation, with great hope, so that when the whole world sees you, we will share in all your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.